We're going to hear the word this morning, and the word's going to bless you. The word will encourage you. For some of you who have gone away from God, you have somehow sought a different source of encouragement. God is going to bring you back this morning. For some of you, you're going to have to check your boundaries so that you don't drift, that you don't play with sin. Some people think they can play with sin and sin will not touch them. So we're going to be in just for a good time this morning. Amen. Luke 15:11. And then he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And so he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a famine, a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe, amen. Put it on him and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it. And let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. We will stop there. I know it goes on to talk about the older brother, but that's not what we're going to concentrate on this morning. Because Luke 15, when you analyze the whole of Luke 15, whether it be the lost coin, the lost sheep, or the lost son, it's talking about lost. Have you ever been lost? All the time, some of you say. Ever driving and get lost? Happened a couple of times with me. I'm quite good with maps. But I can remember when I was small, getting lost from the protection and security of my parents. Those split 10 minutes, the feelings of fear and anxiety, being lost. There are many people today who are lost. Maybe you're in this building today and you're lost. Yes. Maybe you're lost in your own emotions, lost because of divorce, lost because of death of a loved one. Maybe it's lost dreams. You've hoped that life would turn out just a little bit better. Maybe you would have more accomplishments, better CV. Things have got lost along the way. Lost hope. This son was lost. And he was lost because of his own action of rebellion. What we discover in this story, and hear me, church, God loves lost people. Wherever you are in your journey of faith, God loves lost people. And the moment the church stops loving the lost, that moment we start dying. Because it's on God's heart and on God's agenda to love lost people, no matter where they are on their journey. In the first few verses here of verse 12 and 13, we see the picture of rebellion. The younger son comes and he insults his father by asking for his inheritance now. Really, the inheritance would come when the father would die. But the son couldn't wait. He wanted his independence. He wanted to do his own thing. And how true Proverbs, when it says, an inheritance quickly gained at the beginning will not be blessed at the end. And sometimes God allows us to have what we want so we discover what it is we really need. What we really need. And running away from God starts by feeling free. But it ends in misery, either in this life or in the one to come. And this son thought his independence from his father would bring him happiness. Let us party. Let us go and have a good time. Some think that our God is a killjoy. Somehow, he sets regulations and rules in our lives so that we will not be happy and not fulfilled. Did you know that God is a God who wants us to walk in freedom, but he has set certain rules and laws in our lives so that we would be protected? Did you know that there is a law outside when I get into my car? It's called the law of the highway code. That is why mostly I can drive my car at peace. Some of you are laughing, I don't know why, I don't break the highway code. However, I know that when I come to a set of traffic lights, and if it's green for me, it's red for someone else, and they are obeying the law. Imagine the chaos, the confusion, the fear on the road if there were no law of the highway code. God has given us laws. Does casual sex outside of marriage bring happiness? Ask the thousands of people who in this world who are now dying of AIDS. Are they happy? No. This son's independence from his father, it led to a lifestyle of loose living, and he wasted his substance on riotous living, on reckless living, on wild living. I don't know what this son got up to, but somehow he thought he would have a good time partying and wasting all his inheritance on reckless living. Can I just say to you, church, that if you think as a Christian you can live your life recklessly with no boundaries in the spiritual realm, you are mistaken, because one day you will reap what you have sown. Don't think that you can play around with sin and get away with it. You can't. Sin has a habit of creeping through the back door and bringing death. Don't think that you can control your situation, your emotions. It's important that you set boundaries in your life. You need to be careful what you sow. Whatever a man sows, that shall he reap. You need to be careful with loose living. Living not being led by the Spirit of God. Know how to set boundaries. Don't live by the world's standards. Loose living, watch your eye get. It is ever so easy, man, to get snared with pornography now. All you have to do is click a few words on your laptop or computer, and up, all the filth of the world can be on your screen. No one's watching. No one needs to know. But God knows. God knows. And the devil has got a grip on your eye gate. Going down that route, don't feel guilty about it. Just repent and allow God to cleanse you and to heal. Amen? Young people, and most of the young people are maybe in the next room, but be careful. Be careful with the physical expression of your relationship with the opposite sex. It's important. It's important in courtship that you're dating with the person that God wants you to date with. Amen? I.e., they're Christian. Don't think that you can get away and date with those who are non-Christian and it doesn't matter to God. It does matter because the Bible makes it quite clear. Don't be unequally yoked. So you need to move in the Spirit of God and allow God to bring the right man, amen? The right man, the right woman into your life and bless you. But don't go seeking your own thing. Living your life independently. And when you do get into courtship, be careful. Do I need to say any more? Maybe I do. Because some think that we can play with sin. Listen to me. It may not apply to us older ones. It may still. But however, be careful on the physical side. For example, heavy petting is a no-no. You understand what I mean? Mm-hmm. Heavy petting is a no-no. When I start to caress someone else's private parts or anywhere close to it, you are playing with fire. Because I'm going to tell you now, once you are aroused, that's it. Totally gone. Don't think that you can control yourself. Don't think that you will not, it won't lead to sexual intercourse. It will. The moment you are aroused, close the door. You've had it. So you don't ever put yourself in a vulnerable position where you think that you can play with sin, because the moment you play with sin, death will come. I'm telling you, because this son thought he could live his life independent from his father. If you're going to live a spirit-filled life, you must live by God's law, God's rule. Let me tell you now, God, our God, is not a killjoy. He wants you to be blessed, amen. He wants the right man in your life, the right woman in your life, but he wants you to live a life that will glorify him, even in your courtship. Even in your courtship. Amen. So watch your eye gate. Watch drink. Now, I don't mind if I have a glass of wine. There's nothing wrong with that. You might think that's wrong, but I don't. If I have a bottle of wine and be more than tipsy, that is definitely wrong. Are you getting my drift this morning? And some think that you can be a little bit tipsy and there's nothing wrong with it. There is something wrong with it because the Bible condemns drunkenness. Not drink, but drunkenness. Whether it be drunkenness, whether it be drugs, whether it be physical in terms of what I eat. Come on, church. That is one area the church has not addressed. It has not addressed. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I need to look after this body. I cannot let it become so huge where it affects my own heart and my own condition. Amen. Because this is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I couldn't resist that one. Oh, praise God. You love me anyhow, don't you? Verse 14. And he began to be in want. Now, listen to me. No matter what I have said this morning, listen to this. If you think by playing with the world and playing with sin will bring satisfaction, you will be disappointed because the world cannot satisfy. If you go down a wrong area in terms of relationship and think, well, it's lovely, it's fine, it's satisfying me emotionally, it's making me feel good, no, no, no. In a few years' time, you will regret the road that you have taken. You will regret it. But when you step out of independence from God, you can expect that the devil will hold you captive. And he will hold you captive. When we break our attachment with God, we end up attached to another. And that attachment will bring slavery, not sonship. It may be drugs, alcohol, or illicit sex. It could be sport. It could be television. In the end, our attachment from God will bring want. Only God can satisfy. I want you to look in the story here of the mess this boy got himself into in verse 15 and verse 16. And then he went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate. This son was in such a state of desperation that forget about bread, forget about meat. He would gladly have ate what the pigs ate. No greater humiliation can be imagined for a Jew to be compelled to feed pigs and to eat what the pigs were eating. What a desperate state. And you and I were made to be filled with God. And if we run from God, listen, if we run from God, if we take our little earthly inheritance of time, of money, and energy, and use it to attach ourselves to other things other than God, it won't matter whether you are a millionaire or buried in some unnamed grave, our future, or your future, will be swine food for all eternity. That's the consequences of living life independently from God. Not only do we see rebellion in the story, we see a great realization. In verse 17, and when he came to himself, and when he came to himself, and when he came to himself. When you are alienated from God, you are alienated from yourself. You cannot know yourself or relate properly to yourself if you are running from the one who made you. There are three things about your identity as a human being. You were made by God, you are like God, and you were made for God. And therefore, conversion is coming to yourself as well as coming to God. It is discovering when you came, where you came from, who you are, and why you exist. And to run away from God is to run away from yourself. But this boy, because of the misery that sin brought into his life, the desperation, the extremity of his consequences, there came a time when he came to himself and he realized, he thought of home, he thought of his father. His father was a wealthy man. He had many of hired servants. He thought of those servants Even those servants have enough to eat. Here I am, feeding pigs and eating what the pigs are eating. And when he came to himself, not only do we see realization, we see repentance. In verse 18, he said, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. In verse 20, and he arose and came to his father. You see, repentance is not only waking up to the truth, it's taking action. And some of you need to take action. Maybe Christian, maybe some of your behavior has been casual and loose. You need to repent and take action. You need to put boundaries in your life that the enemy will not hold you captive any longer. You need to repent from a lifestyle that you've got yourself into. It may not necessarily be sin, but certainly it is a weight around your neck that does not glorify God. And today you need to come before God and arise and say, Father, I have been wrong, forgive me. And I am building a boundary in my spirit and in my heart and my spiritual life, and the enemy will not hold me captive. I am trusting you that you lead me, and you have nothing but good things in store for me. Amen. But it's not just thinking about it, it's doing it. This boy not only came to himself and thought about it, he got up, took action. He took action. Repentance is a humble brokenness and a sense of unworthiness before God. Literally, repentance involves my mind, my emotion, and my will. Yes, of course, I'm sorry about my condition, but it's more than just being sorry. It is changing my mind. That is why it's called repent. The word pent means top. That's why you have pent house, isn't it? Pent house, the change of your mind. You change your attitude, you change the way you think, then you can change your behavior. Amen. It all starts by repent. So there needs to be a change. Needs to be a change of direction. It's like going down the road and suddenly I realized I'm going the wrong way. What do? I stop the car. And I do a U-turn. The U-turn is me turning around. I realize I've gone the wrong way. And spiritually, I've gone the wrong way. I stop my car, my spiritual car, amen. And I do a U-turn and I follow God's way. In all my ways, I will acknowledge him and he will what? He will direct my path. But that will only happen when I do a U-turn. I won't live my life independently thinking that it's my life. I can do what I want. It doesn't really matter. I am accountable to no one, no friend. You live that life, you're in for it. You will end up with the pigs. There needs to be a change of heart, of mind, of attitude. And you do a U-turn and you go God's way, trusting that God will direct. Amen. Amen. Then we have this lovely picture of reconciliation. Verse 20, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Oh, and the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in your sight I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Now, this is a critical moment in the story. The rebellion of the son had grieved the father's heart. How would he react when he would return home? Think of the emotions of the son when he started on his journey to go back home. Would his father reject him? After all, he had taken his inheritance. He had said, goodbye, that's it, I'm living my life. But now he's coming back with not a penny. How would his father respond or react when he would see him? He had all kinds of emotions when he started that journey. This morning, I want you to see, and this is this part of the story I love, I want you to see how the Father welcomed the Son back. And how our Father welcomes you. Did you get that this morning? Come on, church. How our Father welcomes you. No matter where your life turned, no matter where you've come from, no matter what has happened, you have made a turning, you've turned around, and the Father, He welcomes you back with open arms. Amen. Throughout the long and lonely months or years, when this boy was separated from his father, do you know what? The Father still loved him. Did you get that this morning? The Father still loved him. And some of you, maybe you cannot embrace the concept of the Father's love because of your own experience with your earthly father. Maybe your earthly father was absent. Maybe your earthly father was not a good example. Maybe your earthly father was not good. And somehow the concept of God as Father, you just need the Holy Spirit to allow your heart to embrace the concept that our Father in heaven is good. And our Father in heaven loves us with an everlasting love. Amen. Oh, and nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No principality, no height, no depth. Nothing, nothing can separate us from the love that we have. Our Heavenly Father loves us. You may think, oh, He only loves me when I'm good. No, He loves you even when you're in a wayward place. He's wooing you and trying to bring you back. That's how much He loves you. In this story, we find five actions of the Father toward the Son. Father saw And when he was a great way off, his father saw him. God is not so busy with other things that he is not concerned about his alien children. He loves you. You think that no one cares, no one sees your pain, no one sees your despair. And I just remind you this morning, God does. God does. I read a verse of Scripture the other week. It was found in Isaiah 42. And it goes something like this. Thus says the Lord God. Remember, He is Lord God, sovereign maker of heaven and earth. Amen. Nothing takes Him by surprise. All things are possible because He created all things. Amen. And God says, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth from where it comes, who gives breath to the people on it. Oh, listen. And the spirit to those who walk on it. And this, here's what God says. I, the Lord, called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. And I thought, isn't that wonderful? That the God who created the universe, the heavens, the God who made all things, He says to me, Billy, Luke, I'm the God who's done all these things, but I come to you and I call you by name and I hold you by hand. God is not so busy that He cannot see. He sees. And He holds your hand. He sees. And then we read He had compassion on him. Not only does God see, but God has feelings toward you. He had compassion. And then we see he ran and he fell on his neck. Not only is there feelings, but he ran. Now, for a middle-aged man, owner of a significant estate, there is a certain decorum to maintain, a certain dignity to display. But this father was less concerned for his own shame than that of his sons. And here in the culture of the day, men over 30 did not run. Oh, boy. I was going to say something there about or not. But they didn't run. But here was this father, because his garments and his robes would be flowing, he would have lifted them up. And there, he would run toward his son who was lost. And friend, God is running toward you today. Some of you have already been touched by the Spirit of God as we've prayed for you, because God is running. He's not distant. He wants to come. The Bible says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. And then we have the act of embracing. He came and He fell on His neck. God, the Holy Spirit, wants to embrace you this morning. He wants to touch you. Let the Holy Spirit hug you. Feel the witness of the Spirit of God in your heart today that you are a child of God. And we read of another action, and He kissed him. And He kissed him. God wants to kiss our spirit. Not only do we see the love enduring in this story, we see it enriching. Because in verse 22, the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. I just want to look at two items this morning. The ring and the robe. What was the ring? The ring signifies sonship. It signifies that I am a member of the family of God. And Jesus died not only to bring us forgiveness, but a relationship with God. And God would say and remind us this morning, He has not given to us the spirit of fear. He's not given to us the spirit of bondage, but He has given to us the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Abba, Father, because you are children of God. Children of God. But the robe, it signified of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It speaks of my justification. I'm a child of God, but I'm no longer naked. I'm clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. God has provided for me through the cross and through the resurrection of Christ a robe whereby I stand before Him, not condemned. I'm justified. Amen. I am acquitted. I am totally forgiven of past, present, and future sin. Amen. Totally acquitted. And that's where you stand. And so you have a robe. And you have a ring. We need to ask Abba Father to release the spirit of adoption in our hearts. Don't be driven to be accepted by God. Don't live your life independently from God. Don't think God is a killjoy. God is not. God wants you to have the best. Amen. God has a perfect plan for you. There is no fear in love, but perfect love has cast out all fear. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Only the positive experience of God's love can displace the negative experience of rejection in this life. Maybe this life has brought its own hurt. Maybe this life has brought rejection and pain. Friends, only the positive experience of God's love can displace all that negativity. I pray that the love of God all will bring healing. Amen. Healing. Amen. Healing into your life. You see, the enemy, he wants you to live in fear. He wants you to live your life independently. He doesn't want you to have a spirit-filled life. He doesn't want you to be fed in the Word. He wants you to have a shortcut. It's okay to do this. It's okay to go after that. You'd be okay. Have a shortcut. Fulfill your destiny by having a shortcut. He tried to shortcut Jesus, didn't he, in the temptations. All the kingdoms are yours. You can have them. You don't have to go to the cross. And he does the same with you and I. Some of you think, oh, well, I'm not doing anything really bad. No. It's a shortcut. And the enemy knows it's a shortcut. But it will not lead to God's destiny for your life. The enemy, he wants you to live in fear. But this morning, I pray that you allow the Holy Spirit to embrace you with the Father's love. And sometimes we allow the father of lies to implant his lies into our minds. And as a result, what happens? We develop what I call ungodly belief patterns about our lives and about our destiny. We listen to these ungodly belief patterns and we allow them to control us. Some go like this: I'm all alone. No one cares. Therefore, I will trust no one. He, she hurt me. Therefore, I will build a wall of protection around me. I will trust no one ever, ever again. No one will ever get close to me. Maybe something like this: I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. Maybe it's a whisper: you don't really have any purpose in life. Why go through the hassle? And once we start to entertain these negative beliefs, they often turn into negative expectations. And we start speaking to ourselves: I will never trust anyone again. I will always be alone. And as a result, we build a wall of protection, which becomes a wall of negativity that just gets bigger and bigger. And these ungodly belief patterns and wrong negative expectations can only be pulled down when we fully understand the love of the Father toward us. Friends, our Father, he sees. Our Father is running toward you. Our Father, he wants to come and kiss you and have compassion on you. Or just feel the tug and the embrace of the Holy Spirit. Because God would remind you this morning that as you abide in truth, it is truth that sets you free. Listen, as we conclude, if you abide in my word, you shall be my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. God gave me a revelation of this some months ago. I always quoted the latter part of that verse: and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. But I never quoted the verse before it. It's important that you get something in its context. And here's the key. Here's the condition: if you abide in my word. So if I'm going to walk in the light, if I'm going to walk in truth, it's important that I continue, I abide in the word. Amen? It's not just thinking about it here today. Ah, yes, God's spoken to me. God's encouraged me. No, tomorrow morning, even when you get home today, you still need to abide. You need to continue. It needs to become part of your mindset, part of your lifestyle. Because I can assure you, in a setting like this, you are encouraged. Well, maybe. You are encouraged. But tomorrow morning at the office, or maybe when you're by yourself, the enemy will bring suggestions. That's when you need to abide. That's when you need to continue. What are the lies that you have believed about yourself? Satan's lie: I am worthless. God's truth to you this morning is, I'm a son of the King. Satan's lie for you might have been, I am a mistake. My parents didn't plan me. I know I'm a mistake. But God's truth to you is that you are created by your Heavenly Father, and all your days are in His hands. Maybe you're saying, I'm an accident. No, you need to come with truth and realize that you are here by appointment. Amen. Maybe you think, I'm without purpose. No, you are here on God's mission. Amen. Maybe you think, I'm hopeless. It's gone. There is no hope. No, learn to put on the helmet of hope, of expectancy, of good in the mind. Amen. Hope for the future because God has good things in store. I'm all alone. Learn the truth where God says, you will never be abandoned. Maybe you say, I'm ugly. I said to you the other week, if God will only made me 6 inches more, higher. I didn't say I was ugly. You know why? Because I am God's work of art. Amen. Bring it on. All the white hair and gray hair. I am God's work of art, spiritually. I am His workmanship. And we need to learn to allow the truth to get into our minds. Amen.